Welcome to No Longer Conform, my online teaching and preaching ministry. We're looking at the book of Acts. As the title is Luke's History of the Church, Volume 2. In this session, we're looking at Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 17, Corinth, 18 months of ministry. Some mocked, some waited, some believed. That was the headline from Athens. Well, par for the course. Some mocked, some waited, some believed. Chapter 18 brings Paul from Athens to the great city of Corinth. Let's just consider two parts of the missionary work in that city. First, consider the church's foundation. Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. Let's look at that passage. Upon his arrival in Corinth, Paul found Christians. Verses 1 and 2. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. This was so important to the work there. Support, fellowship, co-laborers. Later, a church group met at Aquila and Priscilla's house in Ephesus. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. The churches of Asia, which is that area where Ephesus is located. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And the apostle, he worked as a tent maker while he was there at Corinth. Why? Well, verse 3. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. Aquila and Priscilla, and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. So they were tent makers, he was tent maker. So he stayed with them and worked with them. Did Paul minister as bivocational to be no burden? Maybe. I think he saw the opportunity to meet people in the trade and to meet people in the marketplace, because he took advantage of every opportunity he could get. He sought to gain access in order to witness. It says, as was his pattern, Paul went to the Jews in verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So win as many Jews as possible. This is his strategy. Go into a town, go into the synagogue, win as many Jews as possible, then turn to the Gentiles when you're rejected by the Jews, and go to the next city, try it again. Paul's witness became more aggressive. Verses 5 and 6, when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Paul felt free when others came, when the others came. Maybe they brought resources. He was able to devote more time to witnessing, less to tent making. We don't know for sure. The Jews' reaction was predictable, as usual. And then he moved to a different meeting place, even going into the synagogue and spending as much time in the synagogue as he could. In verses 7 and 8, it says, "And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue." And then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Think about that. Right next door to the synagogue. It's like having a church split, and one went right across the street. Many believed. Paul received assurance from the Lord. Verse 9. Now, the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you. And then listen, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. It was an important decision. How would he respond to the opposition in Corinth? The apostle needed guidance on whether to stay or to leave. But he was assured by God, and he stayed at Corinth for 18 months. No harm, no problem, stay and preach, just notice the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's lead. So, first of all, consider the church's foundation there. Second, consider the Jews' accusation. And we'll look at verses 12 to 17 of Acts 18. This appearance before the proconsul is very important for two reasons. It illustrates how Roman authorities did and should respond to Christianity, and it provides a date for Paul's ministry work. Verses 12 and 13, it says, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. Gallio, we know from history, was proconsul somewhere between AD 51, or he was proconsul between AD 51 and 54. And so Paul's work at Corinth was for 18 months, and so it would have been somewhere between AD 49 and 54. This history reference is absolutely critical to dating biblical events of the New Testament. And look at verses 14 to 16 for the Roman response. Verse 14, when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names and your own law, look to it yourselves. For I do not want to be a judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. The pattern seen here is that Paul was never found guilty of breaking any Roman law, ever. The issue was a Jewish matter, not an affair of state. So verse 16 is very powerful. Rome was clever in how it handled ruling over peoples. They left governments intact, even the kings. Overseers were placed there to execute Roman law, and taxes were collected as tribute to authority. Often the peoples were satisfied with this method of rule. Look at verse 17. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. The apostle Paul was content to take advantage of the situation. Look at verse 18, the first part of it. So Paul still remained a good while. It comes to that saying, bloom where you're planted. Paul understood that well, and we need to understand that as Christians. We need to serve
the Lord where we are. Bloom where we're planted. You have a great day.